Welcome back to another episode of our podcast here at WorkPath. Since the beginning of the season, we've been talking about some of the biggest challenges that organizations face today. And we've been looking at the issues enterprises particularly faced in the last couple of years, not just because of digitization, but also because of just the frequency and the magnitude of change that is happening out there. We've been talking about how to address these issues and how a more outcome-centered working culture can help fixing these problems. And in the very first episode, we give you sort of like an overview, right? We identified four main problem spaces that organizations face today. We talked about clarity and direction, so employees and teams just know why they come to work and how they contribute to the company's success. That was the number one problem space. And in a previous episode, you also heard about alignment, how challenging and how important it is to align teams, not just along reporting lines and within teams, but really align teams cross-functionally, across borders of silos, and around outcomes, aligning teams around outcomes in the end. So if you haven't listened to those previous episodes, and particularly to the first one where we share this high-level overview of the biggest challenges we see among the enterprises we work with here at WorkPath, I highly recommend you listening to that. And you can also share a link to that episode in the show notes to this one. For today, I again invited Simon Bock, one of our product leaders. He was my sparring partner in the very first episode already, so you might know him. And today we are going to talk about execution on outcomes. So we're talking about how to stay focused on the most meaningful outcomes you are pursuing in your day-to-day work. So we've already talked about defining clear and high-quality outcomes. We've talked about how to align yourself and your teams around those outcomes. And now today is about, once you have them in clarity and quality and well-aligned, how do you make sure those outcomes stay in your center of attention and you don't get caught up by sort of like the day-to-day chaos and the firefighting? So outcome centricity in day-to-day work, execution and outcomes is sort of our main topic for today. So welcome back, Simon. Maybe you want to introduce yourself again briefly to those people in the audience who haven't met you yet in the previous episode.
Yeah, thanks, Johannes. Good to be here. Yeah, so as Johannes said, you might have heard me before. I'm a product manager here at WorkPath, and I'm specifically focusing on the area that Johannes was referring to. So essentially, how can we best enable organizations to really focus their team members, their teams, and the entire organization behind what matters most to them? And yeah, so I have a background in customer success, and you might have heard that from some of the previous podcast episodes, and that's why I've been somewhat close to the problems, I would say.
Yeah. So, Simon, before we start with this conversation, maybe let's just quickly remind the audience that you can follow us on whatever platform you're listening to on our podcast. It might be Spotify, it might be Apple, and we really appreciate your support. We would really appreciate if you leave us a nice review. This helps us to gain more visibility, to grow our community, so you might want to do that right away or after listening to that episode. Okay, Simon, let's start and dive a little bit deeper. When talking about focusing on outcomes, basically what we're saying, it's not enough to be focused. It's not enough to just be well organized in your day-to-day work. It's important what you focus on, right? We say it's important to focus on outcomes. So why is that so important? And I think a lot of people say that it is harder than ever before to stay focused on outcomes. Why is that?
Yeah, I think it's a super interesting question. It does sound like an evergreen, but we do actually perceive that if you look at the last decade, there has been something rather interesting to observe where we see organizations really struggling to achieve their goals, and especially so if you compare this to competition. And what we've seen, let's say, in the last decade or a little bit more than that, was that there's quite a gap sometimes between organizations that were born in the last 10 or 20 years that bring with them a certain set of habits and how they work that a lot of organizations are trying to achieve, right? And they might call that new ways of working. And those companies that have that and were born like that probably don't call it that way. And those relate to being strongly data-driven, customer-centric. They usually have high autonomy for teams. And we see that some of those really outperform the existing enterprise organizations. And that's the one side, like really a lot of organizations struggling to achieve their goals. And the other side is that we do see a surge in stress and sometimes even burnout for employees and teams throughout larger organizations. And yes, you could definitely say it's always been tough to achieve challenging goals. But we do think it makes sense that there is more of this visible if you look at this decade. And in our understanding, you can attribute this surge in the problem to a couple factors that really describe how the market changed and how organizations work nowadays. And some of those aspects are that there is more ownership and autonomy for teams now, because that is needed for high customer centricity. And with that, usually stronger collaboration needs come across, right? So where you need to work with lots of teams throughout the large organizations. And in many cases, the org structure and the processes are not designed for that, besides the fact that it's more responsibility anyways for teams already. And one interesting side story maybe to that is that we and many other organizations combat this with quote-unquote productivity tools, which are incredibly helpful, but they also create more noise. And some of those tools might include like communication tools like Slack or Teams or any online meeting tools where you can do video calls. And they really make it easier to access those other teams. But there are some people who already call them productivity killers, because you might get 20, 30, 40, or 100 messages a day, but they don't actually help you to stay focused on what matters most, while it is, of course, easier to access other teams for that than it might have been in the past.
Yeah, I think that is a notion that we hear more and more, right? Productivity tools that actually are productivity killers, because they might open up new channels, they might decrease barriers for communication, but they don't necessarily provide more clarity and direction, and they don't really help you to stay focused on what's really matters. And it just leads to lots of people who are basically feel like they're busy being busy, but not necessarily feel like they're making an impact and driving things onwards. And I think that's in the end what really makes human work great and human work relevant and meaningful, if you feel like I'm actually driving meaningful outcomes. I have a positive impact, and I'm not just completing tasks, or I'm not just trying to sort of like keep my head above water and sort of like manage my weekly chaos. So, okay, I think lots of good reasons why it's important to talk about outcome centricity in everyday work and why it is not becoming easier, despite we have more tools and seemingly more awareness, higher level of consciousness. So how can organizations support their teams and ensure that they are able to stay focused on the most meaningful outcomes? It is about, in the end, how can we help teams to achieve their goals, but goals in a sense that it is not just, as I just said, completing tasks and like completing projects, but really that teams are able to execute on outcomes on a day-to-day basis, and they don't lose those most important target outcomes out of sight. What can organizations do there?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things that you can start out with doing. And if you talk about outcomes and goals, the way most organizations structure this is that they have financial goals that are more lagging, and the ones that they usually focus on that you called outcomes are basically ones that describe we're adding a certain amount of value to an internal or external customer, for example, right? Even if it's, it could be a user outside. And if you look at that, you usually have dependencies, like you have an external environment and that's, you know, hard to control, but you have to like win in that. That's, you know, everyone's task. And if you only look at the internal side and the habits and the processes that people run there, it really comes down to a couple things. And those are usually that you really need to direct the necessary effort and resources to those goals, as easy as that sounds, right? And it does sound obvious, of course, but the problem is that there are competing focus points, right? So you might have legacy topics or day-to-day work. You need to do things to keep the organization running. And those somewhat on the side and competing for focus, along with other teams requesting topics, as we just talked about with the example of the productivity tools, right? So when it really comes down to like what are the components, it's really about focusing on the goals themselves and then really making sure that what you're doing on a day-to-day basis is actually outcome-oriented execution, which means to get to this point where you reflect on a somewhat regular basis what we're doing as a team, what I'm doing as an individual. Is this actually directed in what we set out to do? Or did I get like sidetracked by what happens in the organization or any organization?
Yeah, I think that's something that's oftentimes overlooked, right? Outcome orientation, outcome centricity in everyday work doesn't just mean staying focused on your goals and making good progress. It also empowers team to become more adaptive, to become more effective, because you have a better feedback loop and you reflect more often. Okay, I'm doing a lot. My calendar is basically completely full, but is the time I spend, are the things I'm doing, are the things I'm building, are they actually moving the needle? Are they creating outcomes, or is this just some kind of output or some kind of firefighting? So I think that's an additional aspect of outcome centricity in everyday work that's oftentimes overlooked. So maybe we can come back to that later as well. Do you have any examples of companies that are particularly successful in this, right? It feels like it has to do with organizational culture, with also the kind of buy-in and understanding of the management team, the leaders. So are there any companies who have a particularly strong outcome-centric operating system or way of working so they can successfully solve these issues?
Yeah, I would actually say that theoretically any type of organization can build these habits and then over time make it part of their DNA. If you look at like where it's particularly prominent, however, like you do see a lot of those organizations that were like, let's say, born in like one or two decades ago, where it's really part of the DNA, as you were saying, right? So, and maybe the most prominent example or one of those might be like Amazon, for example, which have always been known for like being incredibly customer centric on the one hand side. But also if you look a little bit like one level below, like there are a couple of habits that really help them do this, that help them really focusing on what matters. And then of course, in turn, achieve goals. And the combination is usually something that is incredibly metric driven and really focused on customers. And the two things that are like that you might have read in articles, for example, are like these metrics, like every team has like North Star metrics, and really the decisions come down to those and like the question of the team successful. And then there are a couple, let's say, habits that they have, like, for example, customer lens, where they really try to describe like how are we trying to achieve this number, and they describe what type of value they want to create for whom, etc. So this really comes close to like an outcome-driven way of work. And in attached to those, of course, there are other things that enable this, right? So regular conversations on those metrics, incredibly fast learning to figure out like, do we have an impact? Like what we're doing right now, is this working or not? Or should we change tracks? And some more, let's say, a larger level topics for the entire organization, but organizational structure is, of course, incredibly relevant here. If you have a strong focus on customers, it really might make sense to structure the organization in cross-functional teams that have then a little bit less friction outside of the team because they have the people already in the team. But any of those things could be starting points, of course. Yeah.
Okay, so when talking about successful companies in that context, you obviously, on the one hand, talk about company culture, DNA. And I think there might be listeners in the audience who work in companies where it maybe is not Amazon style kind of culture where it's everything is extremely metric driven already and where the customer centricity is sort of like a mantra that is repeated in everything you do. So are there any lower hanging fruits or simple entry points for organizations if they want to get there? So you and your team, Simon, you're working with thousands of teams out there. You're building tools for thousands of teams to sort of like keep that outcome centricity in the center of attention of everyday work, basically, of everyday collaboration. So can you give us some best practices and tips on how to approach it if you are not in that kind of environment? And maybe if you're not able to make the big changes, as you mentioned it, like the changing organizational structures, moving towards cross-functional teams with less external dependencies.
Yeah, so actually those two things might run in parallel, right? Like a lot of organizations are on a longer change journey and going through exactly those points. But if I wanted to start, let's say this week with my own team and we didn't have any resources that I mentioned before, the thing you can do is start with regular conversations on those goals. And the two things you would need to do that is, of course, one, to have goals, and they wouldn't even have to be OKRs with metrics that really measure the progress on the impact that you are making. But it could be qualitative ways, right? If you think in OKRs, it could be a description of an objective. Let's say you have three objectives. They describe what you want to achieve in a given quarter. That's already incredibly helpful because you talked with your team about this. And now you can use this. And let's say you talk on a weekly or biweekly basis. And then you would run through a certain agenda, right? And that's the second point, right? Like running a meeting to do that. And this could be reflecting on the goals to remember what were they. And you want to discuss where do you currently stand? Did we make any progress? And you would probably also want to discuss why is it that we're standing there or not? Like, are we, if we're not achieving them right now, what's the potential reason for that? And an additional point that you could do there is you could really try to reflect what you're doing. Like, what did you do recently? What do you have on plan for the next 1 or 2 weeks? Is this actually going towards your goals or not? And you don't have to punish yourself if it's not, but it's really about having that reflection moment to really steer the team. And this in combination, let's say, with a certain level of accountability, like maybe making notes for that and like looking back at it the next time you talk about it, can really help the team to focus on executing towards those outcomes.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I think that last part is particularly interesting. And I think, again, oftentimes underestimated how much this is about just starting a habit and starting a certain kind of routine, right? It's not just about how you approach your goal setting, how you write down and define outcomes, but really probably even more important to make it a habit to talk about them and to, I think, sort of change the frame of reference or change the way how you think about goals. I think in many organizations today, still goals are more about, you know, they come from that old idea of this is about employee performance measurement. It's about bonuses and incentives. So they're not really effective steering tools because everyone plays them to optimize their individual outcomes, obviously. So all of this doesn't make sense. And I think most teams, most people agree with that by now. But if you think about goals as not this old thing, but of something actually defining meaningful outcomes that have a good impact for the customer and for the business, and then switch your focus from measurement of performance to learning, I think that's really key for me when we talk about outcome centricity and execution towards outcomes. It takes a certain level of awareness, of consciousness that, as you just said, yeah, start talking about what did we do this week? And yes, everyone was busy, but were we actually busy driving outcomes and creating value, driving progress and relevant metrics? Or were we just busy being busy because we had to fight fires, we created output that didn't really move the needle on value? I think those are, as I just said, and as you, I think, nicely summed it up, it's just about certain habits and about asking yourself the right kind of question. For me, in the end, it boils down to taking up a more entrepreneurial perspective as a team, which is not just about completing tasks, but really about thinking about what did we learn from this week and thinking about the whole system that you operate in as a system of feedback loops, right? You're doing something, you spend time, you create output, but then what's the feedback loop between what you do and the value this creates, the metric this is supposed to influence? And I think it all comes down to a certain learning culture and a learning mindset. I'm very glad that we could kind of like carve this aspect out. I think that's really, really important when talking about this. So looking at the time, I think we're approaching already the end. Simon, thank you very much for being here with us today. Before we closing this episode, just a quick reminder to all of our listeners, you'll find more information about this topic in our show notes. You can also join our community at community.workpath.com, where you can ask questions, where you might find peers and other like-minded people to discuss some of the topics we'll be talking about here. But you can also use this to reach out to us and to suggest topics or maybe even guests that we can invite around the topics that we're having here on the podcast. Of course, you can also follow us on LinkedIn, on Facebook, or on other platforms like Twitter. I think that's usually the best way to stay in touch and to get the most important updates about webinars, events, and other content for WorkPath that might give you even more perspectives and might enable you to meet more people who work on those very same challenges that we talked about here today. So again, thank you very much, Simon. Thank you for joining me here for this episode of today, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you for having me.